Hi, it's Janelle.
This is Marissa.
This is Sade.
And you're listening to...
Be sorry. Welcome to Fat Pink Cast, everybody.
All right. So, tonight's episode was brought to you by Alistair Thorne's Boot Camp. If you survive, I'll still hate your guts.
Mr. Snuffleupagus. No, don't run away, Fluffy.
Donkey Kong barrels. The Night's Watch owns a lot of barrels.
And Sam, the rules lawyer.
Woohoo!
I think we can still have sex, John.
Okay, wait, before I proceed, I have a confession to make.
What?
Did you not watch the episode again?
I was at Governor's Ball all weekend.
Oh my god. You didn't watch the episode!
Come on!
I'm sorry. I legit forgot, but I just want to say, in my defense, Vampire Weekend was playing while Game of Thrones was on.
So. You watched Vampire Weekend instead of Game of Thrones?
Yeah, kind of. And it was live, and it was kind of cool at night with a whole bunch of flashing lights and people screaming. It was pretty intense. Pretty intense.
It was like Game of Thrones, actually.
It was like Game of Thrones, exactly. Like however, can I just say, though, again in my defense, I feel like our last episode that we did where I didn't watch was actually really successful.
Really?
Well, you didn't miss out on any Dario butt this time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is true. I did miss out on that last time.
Yep.
Okay, I'm sorry. It won't happen again. I know we only have one more episode left.
We're going to get, like, one podcast episode where only, like, one of us has watched the episode.
Oops.
Oh, gosh. So, we have some ravens here. Oh, wait. Incident reporting raven.
Hi, incident reporting raven. Okay, I think these stats are correct. It has been 2 episodes since the gratuitous depiction of sexual assault and 0 episodes since the gratuitous use of the word cunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe Alistair Thorne used it, but maybe I just misheard him. But I'm pretty sure he used it.
He said he used the word twat a whole bunch.
He said twat, yeah.
See, they're mixing it up. They have more than one synonym for cunt. Good for them.
So, yeah. Some other ravens are pecking at the window here.
It's a consternation raven.
It's a raven that's saying, fuck you guys.
Why would you do this, raven? Why would you do this, raven? Hi. Okay. This piece of paper says that some white actors are putting their names in for Dornish characters, even though the casting call allegedly says that they are looking for Latino actors.
Yep. Not that you can't be white and
white,
Latino.
Non-Hispanic, yeah. Latino actors. So why?
Because they're entitled.
Well, the
Carrie Mulligan did this shit.
Yeah, it happens a lot in Hollywood where a casting call will say, like, Latino or Asian, or it won't say, but the character will have originally have been Asian or Latino or Black or what have you. And then white actors put their names in anyway.
Yep.
But then if you speak with actors of color, a lot of them say their agents won't put them in when the character is white.
Yep.
So it's like... You know what? Game of Thrones only puts out casting calls for characters of color so often. You can put your name in for all these other white characters.
Yeah, it's just, you know, entitled assholery.
Like, don't do that. I know you like Game of Thrones. I know you want to get discovered, but, like, come on.
Yeah, for real. Especially when you suck. I saw the dialogue for, oh my god, I saw the dialogue for Tyann Sand. And I didn't see that one. I don't even want to know.
I didn't. Wait, what were they trying to do?
They're not taking the subtle approach with her, apparently.
Oh, what? Show oh not my taking god. The subtle approach. I am shocked.
What do we do?
Well, Tyann is the only one that's, like, actually white passing, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that, though. People are like, Tyann has to be white because she's blonde. And, like, no, like, fuck that shit. Even if a person of color auditions for the role, they don't have to be blonde to audition for the role. Like, Danny and some of these actresses are not blonde, like, naturally.
Right.
But they can pair, so why not cast a person of color and we can worry about the hair color later? Like,
Wow, that is so true. Why did I never think about it that way?
but
That's very true.
yeah, like, I mean, I have white passing people in my family. That doesn't make them white. They're still like consider themselves people of color.
But then it goes back to our conversation about Pedro Pascal being white passing and all that jazz, right?
No, but why is Tayenne acting like Ariane?
Why is there no casting call for Ariane?
Well, it says.
Because Tayenne is acting like her. If you read the transcript, she's totally acting like Ariane. With Bronn, can Bronn just die in fire?
I think it's a placeholder. Like, it's not necessarily dialogue that's going to be in the show. They're just giving her somebody to act against.
Right.
But she's like, she's supposed to be like the picture perfect innocent, but she's not really innocent kind
Right.
of person.
Okay, so just to summarize, it looks like Tayenne and Bronn are talking. Bronn is in Dorne. Bronn says, Dornish women are the most beautiful in the world.
My God.
And then he's
He's
like kind
like,
of trying to seduce Bronn. Tell me one woman more beautiful than I am. Blah, blah, blah.
wow.
So she's like trying to seduce Bronn. Do you think that they're trying to substitute Bronn for Aerys Okart and Tyann for Arianne? Or do you think maybe this is a casting call for Arianne and Aerys Okart and they just put the names there?
Could be.
Yeah, although she's talking about poison.
It's weird.
And then she's like, who's the most beautiful person in the world? Who is
No.
it? Is it me? Oh, is it me? Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I'm the most beautiful person in the world.
Who writes the shit? It's D&D. I think they wrote this. I think they did.
If it's really just like not real dialogue, just stuff that for the actors to just say, like this is still pretty bad writing. Like, why? Why would you want someone to audition like that? It's terrible.
Oh boy. Yeah, but anyway, that's what's up.
So, Pedro Pascal has a new role too. Hot off of his Game of Thrones exit, he has been cast in a Netflix TV show called Narco. It's directed by Jose Padilla, and it's about a true story of how a Mexican DEA agent was sent to Colombia by the United States to capture and kill a drug kingpin from Colombia.
And he's playing the Mexican? He's playing a Mexican.
What?
Jesus fucking Christ, man.
Well, it's based on a real life person, and it's a all Latino production in that the producer and director are.
But he's playing a Mexican.
Well, you can see the picture of the person he's playing, and yeah, I mean, he looks much older than Pascal now that the mission was years ago, but
Is the guy like I don't know, it's kind of weird, but is the guy
like
like
mestizo?
part black or anything
I
like
think it's
that?
another one of those situations where it's contextual, just like Pedro Pascal. But
Okay.
it's interesting, huh? Like before Game of Thrones, Pedro is playing, I think, mostly
White.
non-Hispanic white characters. And now that he's been in Game of Thrones, his next big role is as a Latino character.
Maisie Williams has also got a new role. She's got a new movie out.
Yeah, a trailer came out. It's called Heat Stroke. Let me read you the plot, okay?
Okay.
She's the strange teenage daughter of a scientist played by Stephen Dorff, who accompanies her father on a research trip to Africa.
Oh, God.
Okay.
After stumbling upon a pair of murderous rhino poachers,
Oh,
they find
jeez.
themselves on the run not from not only the human hunters, but also the vicious animals of the wild.
Okay, this is so weird because this is something that actually is a really big problem, that poachers are largely portrayed as African, black African, right?
Well, actually, if you watch the trailer, the poachers are white.
Or they are?
Yeah, actually, I'm pretty sure there's no people of color in the trailer.
Oh, okay, but they're an African. Okay. Well, at least, the poachers aren't being portrayed as black, I guess. Because that's a problem with most of those movies. When in reality, the people who run the conservatories and stuff like that, and anti-poaching establishments in Africa are black. Like, are African.
Yeah, so those are all the ravens I got. You guys have anything?
Yeah, Sade.
Oh, yes, I do have something. So, So since we've been recording, we actually just received a Raven from one of our listeners, who I believe is responding to the part in our last episode where we were talking about Pedro's comments regarding how Dorne would react, like what kind of funeral Dorne would throw for Oberyn. And so this user, Sissies, sent us, "As a Brazilian man, I can assure you that the hypersexualized Latin America stigma is as terrible as it gets for Latino men. The exotic male sex beast image the world has of Latino men makes my life hard on a daily basis. I live in Germany and people expect so much from me. Warm welcomes, sexual tales of mermaid-like women from Rio, tales of my prowess in sports, a natural predisposition to bohemian activities, a libido that never ends. And I have none of these things to offer. I am a very reserved gay man who doesn't care that much about sports or sex, but it doesn't matter. Every new encounter can be a fight to prove I don't need to prove anything. It's always a strife where my masculinity is more specific than my German man's. I need to be the Latin alpha male character people like Pedro Pascal force onto me and onto the world. You know, Dorne for me is a place where I can be who I am. I wouldn't need to be a sex beast in Dorne, even if my friends were. I could be a boy in all my femininity. Sirella is perfectly fine as a transgendered person. Obara takes on a warrior role, and she's a figure the people adore. Still, Tyann is a very feminine scepter, and Ariane amps her sexuality up to level 11. No shame, much love. Dorne is not this creepy place where I, as a man, would have to play by tight-spun sexual rules. I don't need no orgy at funerals. It's Dorne. We weep for our dead and suffer like any other kingdom." And that was
That
the
was
end.
beautiful.
Yes. Thank you very much, Sissies, for sending this over to us.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's one thing, like I commented on what Pedro said based on having read about the type of pressures that Latino men face, thanks to my reading list and Junot Diaz. But, you know, to hear from another Latino man that confirmation, like, yes, this pressure is very, very real, just proves once again why representation matters and why the Dornish should not have to be otherized.
Right.
Yes.
So that gives us a lot of insight. So I guess time for the episode.
Ain't no Dornish people on the wall. Strange, huh? You'd think like maybe some Summer Islanders since they get around, or I mean, all sorts of people who are convicted for all sorts of crimes are sent to the wall, right?
Dornish, the Dornish don't have any terrible people. They probably just
Only white
actually.
people get sent to the wall because in Westeros only white people commit crimes. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Just like in. No, I'm kidding.
What? Talking.
Well,
Or
it's
maybe
really.
Nina Gold,
I was thinking it's really funny. I was like, it's possible that they just kill them in Dorne, or like put them in their own prisons, or you know,
Rather than send them
that
up north.
is true. I mean,
Rather than
Dorne.
send them up north.
Yeah, I mean, Dorne really did kind of withdraw from the kingdom anyway. It would make sense that they wouldn't put any of their people into the Night's Watch, which is ultimately in service to King's Landing, right?
Yeah.
But then what about the Dornish who travel and get caught for doing bad stuff in Westeros? Do they
Do
get
they
extradited
like,
to Dorne?
yeah.
Are we
Do
trying to no prize this? Are we trying to explain like why they didn't put people of color on the wall, like through this like elaborate, well, maybe Dorne's judicial system doesn't know, like maybe it's just didn't think to include people of color.
Right,
That's true.
exactly. It's very true.
This is true. Okay.
Yeah.
So tonight's episode, or last night's episode, was written by Dude Bro 1 and Dude Bro 2, directed by Neil Marshall. Wasn't he a director who was like, oh yeah, this exec told me that I can put in nudity wherever I want and told me, encouraged me to do it? Wasn't it Neil? Or was that somebody else? It might have been somebody
I
else.
honestly
Was he did the Blackwater episode, right? I'm gonna look it up now. And he was actually kind of disturbed by that.
I'm surprised they let him direct again.
Well, he's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did the Blackwater episode. Those are the only two Game of Thrones episodes he's done. He also did a episode of Black Sails.
Oh, nice. I fell off that show, but you know.
Yeah, he's very, very good at doing these big battle episodes.
Right. So, what happened in this episode? So, John and Sam are on top of the wall reminiscing. I, like, barely remember. They're talking about their vows or something, like the Night's Watch vows.
Yeah, Sam is like, hey, I reread the vows, and I saw that we can have sex. It says you can't get married, and you can't have kids, but you can have... It doesn't say anything about sex.
Uh-huh.
We can totally have sex.
It doesn't say anything about the Lord's kiss being illegal.
He didn't say that.
He didn't have to say that.
We're just making shit up, Shadai. You have no idea what we're saying is, like, what actually happened or not, because you didn't watch the episode.
Yeah, we did not watch the episode.
Are you punishing me? Listen.
We're going to just make up what the...
Well, I mean, Sam is, like, basically saying, like, oh, I've never been with a woman, and we're going to die, and I like Gilly, and then he kind of asks John, like, so what was it like to be with Ygritte? And then John is, like, something really cheesy.
And then
about
he's like,
how,
I'm not a bloody poet, man.
Like, you're part of another person for a moment, and then they're a part of you, and, like, you're more than yourself, because sex. It's cute. It's kind of cute. I don't know.
It's like an outer body experience, man.
Yeah.
That's literally it's what it's
so. Dude, can you imagine dude bros of the Night's Watch?
Dude bros of the Night's Watch. More like stoners of the Night's Watch.
Oh yeah. My god, yes.
We should do an episode like that. Anyway, so then you see an owl.
Well, John tells Sam to, like, go downstairs.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I'll just man the watch myself, which is not a good idea, right? Because what if he, like, falls asleep or has to go to the bathroom and he's not paying attention? You need, like, two people up there. I don't know.
He can, like, pee off the wall or something.
Yeah, but you're still not paying attention when you pee. I don't pay attention to things when I pee.
I just feel like I have to pee. I'm going to go.
Okay. Well, anyhow, he sees an owl and, like, an owl shows up and he's like, oh, an owl.
Yeah, it's a pretty suspicious owl, though. I mean, an owl on the wall.
I mean, last episode, Gilly heard an owl, and she was like, oh, shit. But he doesn't really... John doesn't seem to really react to the owl.
Which is weird, right? Because you would think...
Of all people.
That John...
Right, he would be the one.
Yeah, because he spent so much time with the wildlings, and he knows, you know...
About warning.
At least he didn't, like, try to Instagram it. That's what I would have done.
Look at this sick owl on the wall, you guys.
Check this out, guys! Look at this owl!
Totally.
No, the owl is controlled by a warg, who, mm-hmm. like Janelle said, looks like a Romulan.
Cannibal Romulan.
Oh my god.
Yeah, like we go to the camp of the wildlings, where Tormund's talking about how he had sex with a bear.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
That's from the books! Doesn't he talk about having sex with a bear in the books?
Does he really?
I could have sworn, yeah.
Did I block that out or something?
I think I blocked that out.
About, like, doing things with his penis.
What?
He's very phallic-oriented.
Mm.
Well, that's why his last name is Giant Spain.
No, I think his last name is Giant Spain because he killed giants.
I'm kidding.
This is a weird conversation.
Give me a break here. Come on.
No, let's be serious. This is a serious show.
This is a serious buzz.
Okay.
So he's like, yeah, bear sex. And then Ygritte's like, you didn't have sex with the bear. And then she, like, talks about how she's going to kill crows. And then Steer is like, I don't believe you. And, like, you used to be in, like, have a, like, a crow lover. And probably just gonna give you a slice of your ginger minge when you show up. And so you offended. And I'm like, Mance Rayder, like, is Ygritte your only woman employee? Ygritte straight up, like, the only woman wildling in your camp? What is going on?
Wait, we meet Mance? Mance is back?
Not really.
No, I'm just looking at, like, the demographic makeup of, like, his advanced troop.
Right.
I was, like, the only one on their team, right?
Yeah, which is weird, because there's more women fighting in the battle.
Yeah. Are there women in...
I'm pretty sure in the books there are women in the battle.
I mean, like...
No.
Well, in the books we meet other wildling women, and we see that there are spear wives, and we see that, like, Mance has, like, a sister-in-law who's, a warrior, and, like... But in the books we also meet, like, the Mormont women, who are also... women warriors who are south of the wall, so...
Yeah. It's like, why do we even bother?
And, like, of course, like, Ygritte, when she stands up for herself, the one thing the show depicts is, like, her being basically sexually harassed at work, right?
Right.
They're like, oh, you would just sleep with Jon Snow. Like, I'm going to make comments about your pubic hair because, you know, of, like, of all the things to insult about you would be your genitals because you're a woman.
Right.
Right, so the next scene is Sam, and he's in the library. He's reading a book about wildlings, and Master Aemon catches him. And Master Aemon is like, you are wasting a candle. You are reading a book. I think it's because you are concerned about Gilly, because you don't know what happened to Gilly.
Right.
Because you are in love with Gilly.
Master Aemon's like, you know, he's so perceptive.
Yeah. And then he's like, I was in love once.
Yeah.
And then he talks about it, and he's like, I think that I can still see her in my imagination. And I was almost king, so lots of women threw themselves at me, but there was this one girl that I really loved.
Who was it, you think?
I don't know. I mean, people were like, maybe it's Olenna Tyrell, because she was once engaged to a Targ.
Oh.
But she wasn't into the Targ.
Right.
So I don't know what her deal was.
So he was, like, totally in love with somebody who didn't.
Well, it may not have been her. I don't know. I mean, in the books, he doesn't have this conversation. Right. This is, like, a show canon thing. But, I mean, it's two guys talking about being in love. And it's one of those quiet moments before the chaos. And then, you know, Aemon's like, get some sleep, because we have to fight tomorrow and you could die.
Yeah.
So Sam leaves, and then he hears Gilly begging to be allowed inside the gate, and Pip is blocking the gate and saying, no, we cannot open the gate for anyone. And Sam is like, let her in. And he, like, I forgot what he says. He's like, says, like, let her the fuck in or something.
Yeah. And he's like, I've never heard you curse before, Sam. and Sam, well, Sam's like, you better fucking get used to it.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Really? No, he didn't say.
What kind of juvenile writing is that?
No, he didn't.
No, we're making it up, Shade. You have to watch the episode.
This is evil.
I mean, come on.
And then there is some really bad writing where Sam is like, from now on, like, where you go, I go too. We will never be apart. And that part is pretty cheesy.
That part.
But then they
cheesy.
Hear the horn sounding, so they're like, oh no, the army is coming. So then Sam, like, and Gilly, like, Sam puts Gilly in the pantry, basically, like, in the larder.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, I gotta go fight, and she's like, no, you promised that you wouldn't leave me. Suddenly she's like very clingy, which is understandable given she was, you know, the lone survivor of a massacre. But
right.
Instead of, like, validating her,
it, like, makes her look like she doesn't understand that it's his duty that he has to do this.
I see.
First, he's like, I have to go. I'm a man of the night's watch. Like, this is kind of my job, okay? Like, I'm a firefighter. I'm going to go put out this fire. But then at the end, he's like, I have to go because that's what men do.
Yeah, it was so stupid. I was like, what?
And, like, that's the line that, like, shuts her up.
That's what men do. Because I'm a man. Man, 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 man. I'm a man.
And I was like, fuck you, Sam. You used to be a feminist. But I discussed the scene with my partner, who's a guy, and he was like, oh, my interpretation of that's what men do is Sam was saying, I'm no longer a child. I'm adult, and I am an adult, so I'm going to do my job. But, like, my interpretation as a woman pissed off at the show, mm-hmm. for every sexist thing it's written, was immediately like, oh, so the selling point, like, is that he now identifies with masculinity and with being a man, and that's the reason he's being.
Yeah,
he didn't say, like, that's what the Night's Watch does.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't
that's
say,
what man do.
I see.
He didn't say, like, that's what people do. He says that's what men do.
I see.
Mm-hmm. You are hiding in the pantry. I am not hiding with you because I am a man. That's my interpretation.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
That was kind of mine too, especially later. You see that Yano Slynt
hides
in the pantry like a woman.
Oh, okay. So then you're right, Marissa. You were totally right. I'm sorry. your friend is wrong. Because context is everything. Context is everything.
Yeah, because that's
what... I feel like with this show and just the way they write these lines, like, about, like, stop. Like, you're acting like such a woman, says Brienne to toughen up Jaime.
Right.
Or, like, other girls are stupid. I'm not like other girls. Like, all these lines that they've added in their writing.
Yeah.
Here is yet another one, which by itself could be an innocuous, like, oh, he's decided to be an adult. He's stepping up.
Right.
But taken in the context of the show and just how flippin' sexist it's been, it's like, yeah, I wish that wasn't the selling point. And then it gets even cheesier because Jilly says to Sam, promise me you won't die.
Yeah.
And he's like, I promise I won't die. And all I can think of is, have you guys seen Team America?
Yeah.
Where he, the character goes like, I promise I will never die. Like, that's, it's like, such a cliche line. Why did they leave that in? They could have done other things.
Right.
It makes Jilly seem clingy and irrational, even though right. she's actually kind of a badass. She survived a massacre.
Yeah, like, they went from talking about how brave she was and stuff to, like, having her...
And it implies that she doesn't have much faith in Sam's abilities, which... I mean, Sam isn't the most athletic person, but she saw him take on a White Walker.
Right.
Hmm.
I mean, it's kind of, I just thought it was kind of out of character for Gilly. Because I feel like she would know as a wildling that he has to fight, and because that's what he has to do, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
So to me, it was kind of like, okay, meh. All right. Oh, yeah, that totally reminded me of Pearl Harbor. Didn't I say that?
You did. On the Twitter.
Oh, I did say that on the Twitter.
Which, though, was it Kate Beckinsale and Josh Hartnett or Kate Beckinsale and Ben Affleck?
I don't remember. It was one of those cheesy couples. I don't know. But it was very, like, Pearl Harbor light.
Yeah. If only, like, Faith Hill were crooning in the background.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. No, it'll be Iglesias.
It'll be like the
be here, baby.
Yeah, Enrique Iglesias.
Or it could be like no, it's because they only have two songs in Westeros, so it has to be like Beren the Maiden Fair. In the back,
it can't be Reigns of Castamere. It's not romantic enough.
Reigns of Castamere.
But it's totally. Also the Dornish man's wife.
Ah,
yeah, don't get me started on that and how it racializes. You right there for me. Meanwhile, John is on top of the wall, and he has, like, a conversation with Alistair Thorne, and Alistair Thorne uses the word twat, like, 20 times. He's, like, talking about, like, because I'm a leader, I have to put up with all these twats. You're such a twat, John. I have to deal with these twats. You don't get it.
Twat, why are you being so twatty?
Twat, 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 twat.
And I'm like, okay, we get it, D&D. Vaginas... are bad and irritating. Like, if you want to insult somebody, use the word
twat.
That means vagina. Stop being such a twat.
So yeah, well, you know, well, I every time I complain about that word, though, it's really funny because somebody's like, it doesn't mean the same in England, and I'm like, yeah, it kind of does.
Yeah, it's like the word cunt doesn't mean the same thing in England. No, yeah. It's not.
It's like it still kind of does.
It does. They never use, like, stop being such a dick or stop being such a wiener or stop being such a penis on this show, do they? Mm. Do they use cock in the same way they use twat or cunt?
Mm.
I don't know.
I don't feel like they do, but who knows, man? Who knows?
Okay. So for efficiency's sake, let's break down the battle into like two halves. First, there's the side that's north of the wall, which is like weird ass giants, the mammoth, and like this, all the stuff that's going down there. And then we'll break it down the south side, which is like the fights, little fights, and then grit and stuff.
Okay. Ooh, this just sounds so intense. We haven't even started yet. Okay, I'm ready. Go.
Okay, so from the north, there's a whole bunch. There's a huge ass fire. Like, Smokey the Bear would not be pleased. So I guess Mance wasn't exaggerating when he said he was going to light the biggest fire the North has ever seen.
Even though he's really didn't hear
burning
them.
Everything down. I don't know why. I guess it's like, you know, landing on the shores and burning your ships so you can't turn back.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So there's a huge ass signal fire, and then there's all these wildlings, and they're like, you know, below the wall going, ah, rabble, rabble, rabble. And then meanwhile, like, Alistair Thorne, Jon Snow, and a whole bunch of archers are standing on top of the wall, and they're like ready, aim, fire, and they're trying to shoot fire arrows at the rabble.
Yes. Rabble, rabble.
And Jon does not get to shoot arrows because he's a steward, so I guess the stewards are like the reloaders and the supply. So he just kind of is hanging out. Everybody else is like shooting things. And it's weird because we only really see it from the perspective of the Night's Watch people.
Oh.
Right? Yeah. Like, we don't see Mance Rayder in this episode at all.
What?
Yeah, it's weird. I was just like, are they, like, is Karen Hands, like, not getting paid?
Wow, that doesn't... Yeah. Okay, so even if we never saw Mance, the fact that we didn't even get a wildling perspective, like, so we never, the camera never follows Ygritte as she's running around?
South side, and from the north side, it follows these giants.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
But you don't actually hear conversation with the wildling camp. Like, you're not in on, like, what's going on while they proceed, right?
No.
No, it's other like, than the fire scene where Tormund's talking about having sex with a bear.
Yeah.
And Ygritte has a stuff where she gets sexually harassed by her coworker.
Wow. You know... That's very interesting. It's almost like the show, and I feel like they've been doing this from the beginning, like the show has set it up where you can't even, if you wanted to root for the wildlings, you really can't. Like, they've done everything that they possibly can to discredit wildlings.
They made them cannibals.
Yeah, like, so it's like by the time this battle happens, like, I feel like the show has spent so much time so firmly asserting that the Night's Watch is good and that wildlings are bad. It's like there's no way this episode could have ended but with the Night's Watch succeeding, because, you know what I mean?
There's a scene where Thorne is like, listen up, you guys. There are some cannibals that are coming to eat you. We must fight.
I rolled my eyes. Seriously? Yeah, no, they like, literally, there are cannibals coming to eat you. Do you want to get eaten by cannibals?
That was his speech.
No, you don't. You don't want to get eaten by cannibals.
Oh, my God.
This is our condescending recap of the speech, okay? You have to watch the episode.
Right.
Otherwise, you'll have no context for the degree of which we are being condescending.
Otherwise, you will not realize that there are cannibals coming to eat them.
So, yeah.
And it's mad scary.
We should do that with, like, every battle. They should just be like, those guys over there are cannibals. Do you want to be eaten? Every battle.
I'm sure
it will work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's a thing that happens, apparently. So, there's a couple of interesting scenes. One is that they have, like, one mammoth, right? They only show one, right?
Mm-hmm. They only showed one.
Like, kind of weird. It's just, and there's like two giants, and they got like their mammoth, and they're the ones who are ramming the gate that they didn't put the ice tampon in.
Yeah.
Because remember last episode, John was like, we should have put the ice in the, we should have frozen up the hole in the wall.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and actually earlier in the episode, Alistair's like, you were right. I should have listened to your twatty idea. Yeah. So,
is that like a Robb Stark moment? Like, I have made a huge mistake. Mother,
sort
you were
of,
right.
But not really, because then afterwards he was just like...
We don't get a Robb Stark moment in the show. What are you talking about? Yeah, he's like, yeah, you were right, but I couldn't doubt my leadership skills. Because if you're a leader and you doubt your leadership skills, then how can you lead all these twats?
Yeah.
So a lot of the battle is centered around them trying to bust down that gate because it's the vulnerable point and it's not frozen through. So
wait, but
how
do they know that? How do they know that that gate wasn't?
The ice.
Oh, but all other gates are frozen up.
So there's a portcullis that they can break.
Mm-hmm.
So once they get through the garage door, there's only a couple other garage doors, and then they're on the other side.
Right. True.
So they've got like a mammoth and two giants, and they're like trying to pull the garage door open, and then they start shooting. They're getting shot at, and then like the mammoth gets scared and runs away, and then one of the giants is, no, Fluffy, don't run away.
And he's like running after. People were laughing because it was like
absurd.
It's really funny because you don't. The whole time I was watching, most of the time I didn't really get the seriousness, to feel the seriousness. It wasn't very, it was like, there were certain parts that were really intense, but other parts were just kind of like, this is too humorous, I can't take it seriously.
I was like backseat driving the battle. I was like, drop something on the elephant. I was like, someone needs to just take one for the team and kill themselves by jumping onto the elephant.
Yeah.
Because a jump from that high would kill the elephant, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, but it's so funny to me. This
we can do this.
So arrows scared away a big ass woolly mammoth.
There's a lot of arrows.
Okay, fine.
Like,
okay.
One of the giants gets shot, and then the other giant's like, "No, my homie!" And so he gets really mad and starts beating the garage door down.
Oh no. Does he get through?
Well, John sends... They're starting to run out of men, and basically Alistair Thorne goes downstairs to fight downstairs, so John's up on top of the wall with Janos Slynt. Janos Slynt chickens out and runs to the larder to hide with Gilly. So... And actually, Glenn is really clever. Glenn tells Janos Slynt he's needed downstairs because Janos Slynt is being really indecisive. So Gren helps John get Janos out of the way so John can lead.
Mm.
John starts doing the strategy for this side of the battle. And part of the strategy is that he ends up sending Gren and five other men into the tunnel to hold the tunnel.
Oh, no. They died, don't they?
Sorry. You're just so surprised.
No, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but Gren? Couldn't we send, like, a nobody?
No, he sent his friend.
Oops.
He sent Gren to die.
Like, oh, hey, he was like, we gotta hold the gate. Like, can you go?
Can you say Gren for the team?
No, I have a lot of armor, and I can't do this, so...
You're like, we need to up the emotional quotient of the episode, so...
Okay.
You're gonna have to die.
Yeah.
Someone that was like, I don't know.
But he's not the only one. He's not the only one.
He's the only one we know of who has a name.
No.
Oh.
Not, I mean, like.
I mean, on this side of the battle, on the north side.
Sorry, yeah. I'm probably getting ahead.
So, well, okay, you want to tell her what happens to poor Gren?
So, they go and hold the gate. And, basically, the giant kind of does this like football move where he rushes toward the gate.
Do they not have weapons?
I don't really. It was weird that they weren't like trying to kill him from afar when he was rushing them.
Right, okay.
Because he was like kind of rushing them with his arms wide open and he's like.
They should have brought some ranged weapons, is all I'm saying. They had these arrows.
His head was clear. He wasn't wearing a helmet. I mean, if you shoot like a lot, like a couple of like. Arrows or long range weapons into a guy's skull, no matter how thick his skull is, it's gonna eventually break it, right?
So you're saying that Grant didn't diversify his D&D party by a mage and like a ranger and a healer and someone who could cast long range spells?
Yeah, that's exactly what he didn't do.
So they're starting to get really scared because there's this giant on the other side of the garage. And they do this moment where they start chanting the Night's Watch chant.
Right.
And it's very emotional.
And I was like, is this seriously the right time to be doing this right now?
But no, they're trying to build morale. It's like in Dune when they chant the Litany of Fear.
Fine.
You know, they're trying to self-soothe.
Whatever. We're all going to this. We're going to die for this stupid battle. Yeah.
And it fades to black, so you don't see what happens when the giant hits.
Right. You just kind of come back and you see them.
Yeah, later on you see they're all dead. Mm-hmm. So, goodbye, Gren.
Like, mad dead.
You fought bravely until Jon Snow delegated you to this...
Because he had to send his friend.
But his other friend, Dolores Ed, is still on the top of the wall. And John gives him a special job.
Does it involve him dying at the end? Probably, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, Dolores Ed survives.
Yeah, Dolores Ed is told to use the scythe.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
okay.
For book readers, we were like, what the fuck is the scythe?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it turns out that one of the things that the Night's Watch have on their arsenal is this giant shaved ice machine thing.
Mm-hmm.
That they can drop and it will shave off a piece of the wall and then like avalanche it on below.
That's cool. Wait, what? Yeah. Is that rational?
It's like this giant knife on a chain it, like, and it like shaves
the wall and shaves people off the wall.
Do you believe that?
It was pretty cool though. It's kind
okay,
of cool.
Okay.
It looks really
cool. It was kind
and
of
Ed
cool
got to like, he was like, okay, let's do this. And then everyone was like cheering and he was like, it's not over yet, guys, because he stole her head.
Yeah. He's like, it doesn't mean we're gonna survive. It's like,
so he drops the thingy, and then we see a whole bunch of wildlings die. Is that what happens?
Yeah. But no one laughs at the same stuff that I laugh at. I was like cracking up at Dolores Ed. No one in the bar was, they were cracking up at like stupid jokes.
I see.
Just saying. I turned to my friend, I was like, Dolores Ed is hilarious. And no one else thought he was hilarious. I was like, maybe I just have a terrible sense of humor.
Mm. Well, Ed points out, like, they're still outnumbered, and this is probably just a test of their defenses. It's probably just the first attempt.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. But through these tasks, they do manage to repel the wildlings for now. The people on the north side stop charging. Try to ride against those windmills sometimes when I got enough strength to fight, and that's why I kill giants, cause that's how you fight back in life. I kill giants when the shadows drown out the sunlight. I kill giants, bigger they come, harder they fall, even when there's no giants at all. Yeah, I kill giants when I swing the Kowaleski and crush. I kill giants whenever life bears down too much. I kill giants, bigger they come, harder they fall. I kill giants even when there's no giants at all. The south side is a lot bloodier. Mm-hmm. One of the first casualties of the night is Pip is shooting things and Sam is reloading for him. And then Ygritte shoots Pip.
Right.
Okay. So what?
Pip dies too.
Dad. And Sam dies in Sam's arms, and Sam is like, it's okay, we'll get Master Aemon, and he'll fix you right up.
No!
He got, like, shot right through the throat. I was like, I don't think he's surviving.
Oh my, that's so bloody.
Kill shot, and he's gurgling and scared, and Sam's like, it'll be okay, buddy. Mm-hmm. And Sam is like, oh my god!
Pippin
and so
Redo?
Sam decides to retreat a little bit. So he has to he tries to charge to the elevator.
Uh-huh.
He is spotted by the guy who is warging the owl, and the guy like tries to kill him, but Sam shoots him in the head at the last minute.
Wow.
So if you charge at Sam, he will kill shot you, but you have to get within two spaces before he can shoot him. It's like a special ability. Sit out at the last moment. Sam gets up the elevator and tells John, like, hey, like, it's kind of crappy down there. And John's like, I need you take this whistle. It was a key, right? I need you to take this key. And then Sam goes back down the elevator and releases Ghost.
Yeah. Because finally. Ghost.
For the CG budget reason.
Like, couldn't they have released him earlier?
Yeah.
You know how many people he could have killed?
Wait, so then what happened when they released Ghost? Like, that was it?
Ghost. There is, like, another fight scene, which is between Alistair Thorne and Tormund Giantsbane.
Oh.
It's, like, a boss fight. So, like, there's a big fight, and Tormund gets a good hit on Thorne, but then Thorne, like, falls off a parapet, and his people drag him away.
Mmm.
So we don't know if Thorne is alive or not, but he was still alive last we saw him, and Tormund was with him.
I see.
So Ghost is out, and then, like, John goes down the elevator, too, leaving Ed to command with the scythe.
At the top of the wall. So are we meant to believe that they can go from point A to point B in, like, 5 seconds? Is that how they're portraying it?
I mean, they have...
Do you remember that little kid whose mama and papa was killed by the cannibal?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's manning the elevator.
Yeah.
That he's, like, kid? Really scared.
And then Sam's like encourages him to keep manning the elevator.
This little ass kid is like rotating the construction that lifts this giant pine bridge like 500 feet up into the sky. Okay, I guess I could.
I mean, he can do it. Why are you being so like ageist?
It just sounds really absurd.
And he brought his little toy bow with him, too. He has a bow. Because remember, in a previous episode, this made-up character gave us an expository. I'm the best archer in my now-deceased village.
Right.
John goes down the elevator with the help of Ollie, the orphan boy. His name is Ollie.
Mama and Papa were eaten.
And he fights the big boss. He fights the Magnor, right?
What? This little ass kid?
No, John.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, yeah, the little ass kid fights the...
And, like, John gets his face smashed into an anvil, and he's thrown through a fire. But his face is still the same Gormish face we know and love. There's no, like, cosmetic damage, really.
Yeah, he's still pretty. He's still so pretty. Really?
Like, his face got slammed into an anvil. He should be dead or at least severely concussed, but...
But he's Jon Snow.
But Jon learned some new tricks from the previous fight he had with Torchwood guy. So he spits blood in the guy's face and, like, kind of fights dirty.
Wow. Go, John. Oh.
He puts a hammer and sticks it into the guy's skull.
Into the Romulan
skull.
Oh, my
God. Wow.
And then they turn around and head back to the Star Trek Enterprise.
Yeah, he did. Star Trek. I mean, there's some cool fight scenes, too. Like, Janelle, do you remember the scene with the cook?
Oh, yeah, I liked that. He cleaved.
Yeah.
He cleaved
they
the
go
guy.
Into the cafeteria, and then, like... they start throwing boiling stew and boiling water at the wildlings. And then the cook comes in with, like, a giant butcher knife tied to a stick and starts, like, killing the... Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And it comes down to John. He kills the boss. And then you finds John and points... And you think during this fight, she's watching the fight, you wonder if maybe she'll kill Steer to save John, or kill John to save Steer, but she does not act.
Okay.
So finally he turns around and sees Ygritte, and she's still aiming at him. But then he's, like, kind of happy to see her, so he smiles.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's, like, hesitating. And then suddenly she's shot through the heart.
You're to blame. You give love a bad name.
Ollie the orphan.
Was it totally dramatic? Did she fall down slow motion?
Yeah, but she... It was... Guess
what you say? Oh, that you only meant well. What you say?
And then somebody else got shot right behind her. And then the kid got shot. And then John got shot. And then everybody dies.
Wait, what?
No, we're exaggerating again.
You guys, you know what I just realized? Everything that you just told me up until now could be a total lie.
I'm just actually making this up. What happens is the wildlings breach the wall, and then the Manus Raider lights the biggest fire the North has ever seen, and it makes s'mores.
Awesome.
Yeah, the little kid shoots Ygritte, which is to avenge the death of his family or whatever. And the kid, like, nods at John and, like, a cheat. He basically gives John, like, a thumbs up. He's like, yeah.
Wow.
The plucky little child.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you were right, Marissa. You predicted that he would be the one who would take the place of Satin.
Well, wasn't I the one that said that?
Oh, sorry, Janelle.
I was the one who predicted that he would kill Ygritte. because it's the
thing.
And it was funny before, I didn't remember that, and before the episode, my friend and I, Small Soap Dish, actually, I don't know if you guys follow her on Tumblr, but
yeah,
so she visited, and she wanted to go to the bar, and so we went, and she was just like, I bet you the kid is going to be the one to do it, and I was like, yeah, probably. So we called it. We thought it was cliche.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who shoots?
That's a lot of
cliche. He never finds out. Oh, I can't say that. Okay, never mind.
He was talking about that afterwards.
Yeah. Okay.
But, so then she's like shot, and then she like, you know, falls over, and he's like holding her.
Is this slow motion? Does he go, no! None of that?
He says like, shh, don't block. And like, even in death, the woman on this show gets silenced. Let the woman talk. She's about to die. Like, fuck you, John. Let her talk. What's a shh, shh? No, like, let her talk, man.
Where's the you want me to die? That's why you went on that whole rant.
It's like Game of Thrones, the adaptation in a microcosm. Like, I want my cute death speech. No, Jon Snow's gonna be like, shh, shh, talk.
Shh, shh. I don't know. Why do people do that? Why do people do that?
Yeah, when people are dying, you should totally let them talk because they're gonna die soon.
Yeah, they have like one life to live and one
breath
left.
You guys are being so crazy right now.
Rude.
It's so
really
rude.
You know nothing, Jon.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, from what you guys are telling me, she didn't get to say her goodbye.
Goodbye. She's like, we should never have left the cave.
Mm-hmm. That's what she says. Are you kidding me? That's what she says.
Well, isn't that what she says in the books?
She says other stuff in the books. It's longer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's sorry. Longer.
She could only say one of her things that she says.
That's because he shushed her.
He's probably like, by cave, do you mean vagina? And she's like, no, like the cave we were in. And he said, we should never have left the cave. And, like, he's like, it'll be okay. And she's like, you know nothing, bleh.
Yeah, you know nothing, Jon Snow.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And then it's this entire scene, the, like, battle that's raging around them is completely silent. Mm-hmm. And even though there's multiple opportunities for other wildlings to lay kill shots on Jon, no one does.
Perfect. I'm so glad you noticed that.
I mean, in the books, he finds her body after the battle's over. So, right. Like... there's no one around who could kill him.
Yeah. Right. Oh, right.
He was relying on Ollie to cover him while he cuddled her. And Ollie was like, why are you cuddling my parents' killer? His name is Ollie because of Arrow, like Green Arrow.
Oh.
It's irritating. Ugh.
Sure.
Ugh. Ollie. Mm. I don't know. Anyhow, she dead.
She dead.
She's dead. Mm. She's gone.
Wow.
Yep. So the battle's over. Tormund gets surrounded and tries to fight, but Jon shoots him with a crossbow, and then they arrest him.
Yeah. I was like, dude, is Tormund, well, we've said this before, is Tormund, like, the new Manta Raider?
How many hits can they get in on Tormund? Like, he looked really beat, and he was still standing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
He was fighting until the last moment.
Oh. Epic deaths all around. Okay.
Totally epic.
Wow.
Well, he gets, you know, taken away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't die. He survived.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Okay. So Sam finds Jilly and Janice Lint in the pantry. And the battle's over for the night. Or because the sun is up now.
Okay.
And
so it ends with Jon saying, I have a plan. I will go north of the wall and find Mance Rayder and kill him. If I kill Mance Rayder, then everyone will suddenly become really disorganized.
Wait, seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they killed most of their leaders, too.
Already. Wait, Jon says that? Hmm.
Jon says this. And Sam is like, that is the most worst thought out plan ever. Sam is like, why would you do that?
Wait.
This and then John says, here is my sword Longclaw. Please take care of it. Because I don't want it to get lost in the woods when I inevitably get killed on this mission.
Are you dead ass right now?
Yeah.
He gives his best weapon to Sam to keep for safekeeping.
Yeah.
What kind of fan fiction is this?
And then Sam's like, John, you have to come back, okay? And John says, sure. And then, like, they raise the garage door. And I just want to observe, they raise it all the way up, even though, like, there could be people on the other side.
Right. It was so weird. I was like, aren't there still people out there trying to, like, fight them?
This is so absurd. Because
And John, like, doesn't, like, duck and, like, roll under the gate so, like, no. They can stop it right away, right? Because, you know, Gren died to protect the hole in the wall. That wasn't...
What are you guys telling me right now? Is this true?
Anyhow, Sam lifts the gate and John walks away and fades to white.
Oh my god.
Yep.
That literally makes no sense. The last 10 minutes of what you just said makes no sense. It sounds absurd. How is any of this possible?
And we're all just lying.
And we can talk about like the differences.
Okay.
But
So it was kind of shallow for me in some parts. Like, it was fun episode, but I feel like there's some emotional, with most episodes, I feel like there's something missing, like some emotional attachment. Like, you should be feeling kind of conflicted, but you know, these people are all cannibals apparently, and so that's why they should die. I mean, there's a lot of cheering whenever a wildling got hurt, except for maybe Ygritte. There was a lot of cheering. So
does remind me of Pearl Harbor, because I watched Pearl Harbor when it came out in theaters. Uh-huh. Don't make fun of me, I was a kid. Whenever they killed like a Japanese person, like the entire theater would start cheering.
Yeah.
It was like the most awkward moment in my young Asian life.
It's like stuff
like you're cheering for bad guy people getting murdered.
Yeah. And it's like they're both fighting for certain ideologies, right? And they're not necessarily bad people, but with the way that they portray the wildlings on the show, it's like you don't really get that. And it's just very narrow interpretation of the text and of the purpose. Like, there's no political, you know, there's no, like, I don't know how to explain it, political strife or, like, this political conflict that's really interesting. You know, they're just kind of, like, portrayed as bad guys, except for Ygritte, who was portrayed as very human and everything. Mm-hmm. And maybe Tormund, people might feel for him.
Well, hang on, because it's what they did with Carl, too, right? The knife guy at Craster's Keep, yeah. Who just like pure evil.
Right.
But you know, with Ygritte, I'm wondering about this too. The decision to have Ygritte kill Pip.
Yeah.
Does that change how she's framed in the narrative? Because when you read the book, you're kind of sad that she died. You don't really take in the scope of the number of people that she may have killed.
Yeah.
Right.
But on the show, she's killed Ollie's family. She kills Pip.
Okay. But you know what I think it is? A lot of people like Jon Snow. And because they kind of see Ygritte as an extension of Jon Snow. So it's like, oh no, Ygritte's dying. Jon's going to be so sad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're probably thinking about, like, a lot of people probably think about it that way. Because right. I heard a lot of, like, awe and, like, I figured more people would be pissed that she killed Pip, but.
I've seen some reactions. Like, in the books, I was sad she died. On the show, I'm glad she died. She killed people, you know? I don't know. I mean, at the same time, women characters get a disproportionate amount of hatred for killing people.
Right.
Right? So, like, Tormund's a badass, even though he's killed a lot of people. And we would be bummed if he died.
Yeah.
Because he's so cool.
But a female character
does the same thing. And he fucks bears.
Yeah.
A female character does the same thing. That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, she's the worst, you know. She killed Pip.
But, you know, since you mentioned a female character does the same thing, I want to talk about something my friend posted, which is she said, like, something about how Jon Snow and Ygritte's relationship was actually pretty abusive.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Ooh, how do you think
that? Because she was like, you're mine, and...
Think about it, like, if it was the other way around, and Jon was a woman, and Ygritte was a man, okay? And, like, Jane Snow captures Ygritte. And, like, drags him around. He's the prisoner. And it gets kind of cold, so they have to sleep on the ground, huddled together. And then in the night, Ygritte's, like, grinding up against Jane. And then later on, Jane gets captured by Ygritte's people. And, like, Ygritte's still making the moves on Jane and saying things like, you're mine now, and you don't know nothing, Jane. Like, that's some 50 Shades of Grey bullshit.
After, you see, the thing is that I think the book exaggerates what, I mean, not the book, the show exaggerates. I think we've talked about this too, that the show kind of portrays Ygritte a certain way. Like, she kind of kept, like, verbally taunting him in a way that was really, became really frustrating to watch her verbally taunt him like that, because in the
books. She did that in the books too.
I know, but, like, I feel like in the books, it's less of, like, you know, your dick belongs to me kind of thing. I don't know. I think there was, like, I can't remember exactly what we said about it, but I just remember we were talking about, like, it's a little bit over the top when she does it on the show, or when she did it on the show as well.
It's, I think a lot of it is also because they're both older. Mm-hmm. Like, the actors are just older.
Yeah. And I guess it doesn't pass. It doesn't fly when you're, like, 15.
You're, like, almost 30 years old, and it's like, you know, you're, like, teasing each other, like, you know nothing, and you're a maid. Like, it's just different when you're, like, 30.
Yeah.
Or when you're 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, shall we with the spoilers?
Yes.
What do you rate? How many masks?
Probably, like, a 7.
I was going to give it 8. Okay. Really? I was going to take off masks for, like, the word twat and, like, the scene with Sam and Gilly where he's like, that's what men do. And also John shushing Ygritte.
Yeah, okay. It's one of the better episodes of the season.
Cool.
Yep.
So you should watch it.
Okay.
All right. Spoiler time. Woo-hoo. Spoilers.
Different from the books. Yeah.
What you say? That you only meant well, 'cause you did what you say. That it's all for the best, 'cause it is.
Okay. So, in the books, Sam isn't at this battle at all.
Yeah. Like, at all. There was a lot of focus on Sam, actually. I don't know why.
I appreciated that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it could have been all John, and Sam is more human than John is in a lot of ways. Yeah. And we didn't even say, he kisses Gilly before he leaves.
Oh, yeah.
What? Ew, come on. Really?
I mean, it wasn't...
He thinks he's gonna die.
Yeah.
Sam has been getting on my nerves lately, so I'm kind of just like,
Do you think the kiss is reciprocal, or do you think it was, like, imposed? Because that's a good point. She's, like, a sexual assault survivor, is he?
Yeah. He's just so... I hate the way he talks about her, I guess. So it's kind of like, I don't know. Does she... Well, whatever. Fine. I guess he can have the kiss, I guess.
What do you think, Chanel?
I don't know. He wasn't too bad in this episode.
Really?
It's a good point of view, you know. We do lose Pip and Gran. They get Eerie and Doriad. They get Eerie and Doriad on screen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in not a hypersexualized way, they get to go out courageously. That would have been interesting if, like, Dany's handmaidens had died, like, protecting the dragons, and we had seen, like, a scene or something. Instead of them backstabbing each other. Anyhow. Right. So I figure they kill off Pip and Gran, and it's sad, but maybe it's so they can make space for some sand snakes next season.
Yeah.
They really need to trim down the cast. Because all the villagers were killed in Molestown, we won't be getting Satin, which kind of bums me out.
Because
he's this character who is more gender non-conforming.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, right.
Brienne is more masculine than is her station.
Mm-hmm.
Satin is more feminine than socially appropriate. And so he's just like kind of foil to Brienne in that sense. And there's this whole subplot where John becomes friends with Satin and decides to make Satin his steward. Mm-hmm. And then the other Night's Watchmen are like, that's not appropriate for you to have a former sex worker who is a guy as your steward. Mm-hmm. And John ignores them and like sticks up for Satin. And I think that is not going to be in the story now, because instead we get Ollie Oxenfree.
Right. Oh, that's sad.
So, I mean, that's kind of a bummer. We don't see Donal Noy hold the tunnel because it's Gren in this story. But we didn't get Donal Noy anyway. And then Jen Snow pointed out that some of Ygritte's death monologue is missing, because in the books, there's a throwback to her first conversation about the castle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's like, is this a castle? And he's like, yes. And she's like, I'm glad I'm going to see a castle before I die. And he's like, I'll take you to see more castles.
Instead, we got
Oh, wow.
Ygritte, don't speak. I know what you're thinking. And I don't need no reason. Don't tell me because it hurts.
That's so funny, because I remember reading that dialogue in the books and actually really feeling really genuinely sad
when John is promising to take her to see more castles.
Yeah,
and that
that's such a real, like,
I don't know why they left
kind of
it cliche, out,
but it's still a real, like, human connection that we haven't seen between John and Ygritte for a really long time. And I think it sucks that they kind of robbed the audience of that.
Yeah. So she says, good, I wanted to see one proper castle before I... And he says, you'll see 100 castles. The battle's done, and I'll get Master Aemon. You're kissed by fire, remember? You're lucky. It will take more than an arrow to kill you. Aemon will draw it out and patch you up, and we'll get you some milk of the poppy for the pain.
Mm.
And it's just way more affectionate than on the show in that sense. Right. It's very true.
Mm.
And he says, like, we'll go back to the cave. You're not going to die. You're not. So... I don't know, it feels different, maybe less poignant, but also the timing is weird, because she dies in the thick of the battle, and they have to kind of mute the sound effects going around John for us to hear the dialogue.
What else was there?
Well, there's no scythe in the book.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the giant also dies in the book.
They're more mammoths. Right?
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, some of that's budget. People were wondering, like, where is Stannis in all this, but he doesn't come till later on.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought they were going to cut the battle short by having Stannis, like, roll in to save the day.
Yeah. Oh. What do you guys think, about John saying that he's going to go and find Mance Rayder on the show? Like,
oh, yeah, that is different.
Yeah, it's super, because that's not what happens. Mance is at the wall. He's the one who's leading the troops. In that battle, right?
I think Mance still is supposed to be leading the troops, but they just didn't show him. I think that it is different because in the books, he's kind of pushed into it. Like, the other... Like, I think it's, like, Janice Slint and Thorne and those guys. People who don't like him on the wall, like, kind of push John into going to assassinate Mance under the pretense of a parley.
Yeah, because he goes into their camp, right?
Yeah, and on this one, it becomes John's idea instead of him being forced to do it, like blackmailed.
Right.
Which makes John look like, you know, an emo guy who lost his girlfriend.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, like, instead of being coerced, he just decides that he needs to go kill, like, Mance.
Who wasn't even at the battle.
And, yeah, like, I don't know. You can kill Mance, but his theory that if you kill Mance, suddenly everything will be okay is a bit...
Right.
Naive. I was thinking naive.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the show now that John is actually having to leave the wall to go to Mance Rayder to fight again, is that then just going to be John's plot for the next season? Like, are they going to Dany him?
No, I think it's going to be the next episode as he finds Mance, and then Stannis will come.
And then so we're already in book 5.
Yeah. No. The end of book 3. Stannis is here at the end of book 3.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And then
John goes to see Mance, and he's like meeting with Mance, and Mance explains his motivation, which is they're trying to run from the others. And John starts to feel more compassion for their side. And then suddenly there's like a bunch of noise, and they see that Stannis' men are like picking off the wildlings in the camp and stuff.
Oh.
Do you guys think we'll see Dalla and Val?
No.
Damn it!
If they can't cast women, they'll, like if they're women to cast, they'll avoid casting them.
Right.
And avoid writing. To give birth to her son during.
Maybe she'll like crack or something and not be able to do anything. Maybe they'll have her in a corner like crying and stuff. I don't know.
They'll avoid writing for them.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say something. Wasn't there a spoiler that I was gonna talk about, and I didn't. I guess it was maybe the great thing that she, that he, like John never finds out who actually shot her, right?
Yeah. Oh shoot. Yes. It's this huge thing where he finds her, and the battle's already over, and he has a mini freak out because he's not sure if
he killed
her. Shot her or not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Ambiguous, and even to the reader, we have no idea who shot her. Yeah. He seems to think not. He's like, these don't look like the feathers I use on my arrow. It couldn't have been me, right? And then to the reader, you're like, oh shit, it could have been him. He's in denial, or maybe he's right and it wasn't him. But here we have a very concrete, like, tiny child has his revenge.
Yeah.
Wow. Much less emotional.
Yeah.
They're just in it for the shock.
It would be.
But you have the freak out, though, because you can't get his inner monologue. You can't have him, like, looking at the feathers, can you? Would that communicate well on screen?
Yeah, I think.
Unless they have him verbally, like.
Yeah.
But they could probably have a conversation between him and Sam, because Sam's already there.
Mm.
Or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that would have been an interesting way to play it. Unfortunately, that's not what we got. What else? Can't remember anything else about the Battle of Helm's Deep.
Deep? You mean the battle for the wall?
The battle for the wall. But yeah, I think we're getting... So next week we're going back to, like...
All the other plots.
I wonder if we'll see...
It's time to wrap it up, says Game of Thrones.
I wonder if we'll see Sansa. We're supposed to get Stoneheart, I think. I'll be really surprised if we don't get her.
Hmm.
Yeah, I will be disappointed. I mean, based on the trailer, it looks like they get to the tree, so they are going to go into Dance of Dragons territory.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I think that's all, folks.
That's fun. Yay!
I hope Sade watches the episode next week.
Guys!
There's some interesting shots of, like, there's, like, one panning shot where it goes, the camera kind of moves around, like, the entire castle. It's like you're watching a little diorama.
Ooh, that's wonderful. Guys, yeah. I promise I'll watch it. I mean, the finale is coming. I have to.
Uh-huh.
You sound so enthused.
Look, at least there was no rape in this episode.
Yeah.
That is true.
I mean, when you have to say that about an episode of Game of Thrones.
All right, it speaks volumes. Darn it.
All right.
Yay.
That's that. See you next week. Same time.
Same bad place.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. You can find us on iTunes at Fat Pink Cast. Please follow us and review, or you can find us on our Tumblr at fatpinkcast.tumblr.com.
Woohoo!
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're already here.
How can someone so consumed by the idea of his family have any conception what his actual family was doing?
There's people coming.
The dead can't hear us.
We'll kill every last man in Castle Black.